It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Hi there. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome in to an early edition. I don't know if this qualifies as early or not. It's 9 a.m. here in Pittsburgh. An early edition, I guess, of Kabali and Matt, because Kaboom's got to get down to Southside, and we've all got things going on in the world. But we haven't had a chance to break down the second preseason game yet. Look ahead to the third one. Talk about maybe some visitors or a visitor who some people say, I'm good. And other people say, no, gotta have them. What these young guys do with a little bit of added opportunity in the second preseason game. What do we expect to happen in that third game? Like I said, maybe a little spin around the rest of the division because the Bengals played last night. Ravens and Browns are doing things as well. Browns with their 17 quarterbacks. Both coordinators talked yesterday. The locker room got redone, apparently. There's a lot going on down on the South Side as the Steelers get ready for the 2025 regular season. It's a perfect time to get together with us, and we appreciate all of you that have. Kabali and Mac on X, on Facebook, of course, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, where we are now over, kaboom, 2,500 subscribers, which means today, as a thanks to each and every one of you who has subscribed, and don't forget to make your subscriptions publicly viewable, otherwise we can't see that you're subscribed, and then we can't put you in the drawing for the autographed Paul Skeens baseball later on today's show. If you're one of the first 500 followers on Instagram too, you qualify for this beautiful Yoli's Cucina and Craft House $100 gift certificate. Lots of stuff we're giving away, hooking you guys up with as a thanks for jumping on board with us. And yeah, there's still spots available for prospective sponsors. We're hearing from people all the time, talking to them about how they can get involved. So we appreciate everyone who's jumped on board as we're now, what is it, like 3 weeks away from the start of the regular season, kaboom? I can't do math today.
You're asking me. 12.
I know.
19 days? 19?
19 days until the start of the regular season in the Meadowlands of New Jersey.
You should have the countdown clock like you had the buzzer. Remember the buzzer back in the day?
Yeah, the NBA minute. That was, yeah. I think, one of the most scintillating parts of the podcast this spring. People tuning in for your red-hot Tyrese Halliburton takes. Maybe we'll get a little
color. I was more of a Pedro Pascal Siakam guy. I almost called him Pedro. I was watching Varsity Blues again, so I almost called him Pedro.
How many times do you watch the same movies over and over again?
I'm very loyal to my movies.
I get it, but like... Do you watch Varsity Blues like once a week leading up to the start of the season?
I didn't watch it last night. I watched wrestling last night. So
yeah, so did I. Maybe we can talk about that.
I'm not too interested in watching the Bungles right now.
I watched the first – I watched while the starting quarterbacks were in. That was about it. We can get to that a little bit later if we want. Thanks to each and every one of our sponsors who's already on board, including Southwest Greens. You want the yard to look great. It's not raining at all. When it does, it's a downpour, turns everything into mud, and then you got to cut the grass, and then you got to weed whack, and then you got to spray bug and weed killer on it. You got to do all kinds of stuff. You don't want to do any of that. You just want to have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. They can do the whole yard. They can do a little corner for you. Maybe you're a golfer. You want to have a little putting green in your backyard. Yeah, Southwest Greens can do all that. Get a hold of them at southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you, and they will take care of you. We appreciate them continuing to support Kabali and Mac. So we'll do the Skeens giveaway, thanks to our friends at First and Goal, a little bit later in the show. We'll pick a random number. I got the random number generator up on my phone. We'll scroll through the list of subscribers. Kaboom will make a funny 80s game show noise. It'll be great. We'll do all that before we wrap up. But let's put the final bow, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, on preseason game number two. It was over 48 hours ago, but we were both in attendance. I was there with my kid, his first ever Steelers game. And I was, before we get to the actual game itself, like, I was surprised. I've been to preseason games before that feel like a funeral home, right? It's half empty. It's real quiet. Nobody's all that interested. Everybody leaves at halftime. I was somewhat surprised at the atmosphere. Like, it didn't feel like a regular season game by any means, but like it kind of was, it definitely didn't feel like a preseason game of old, like some of the past ones I've been to. There's a little bit of atmosphere there.
It's a little bit of a different crowd, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason. Because, take you for example, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to go to a regular season game, but, you know, you get to go down there now and enjoy it. And so it's a different vibe than the people that have had the season tickets for the past 109 years. So I think that has something to do with it. I mean, it wasn't full. It was probably, what, halfway full? Maybe?
Yeah. Well, no, it was probably more like two-thirds, three-quarters. There was not a lot of yellow showing, at least during the first half. So, and I think you're right about the fact that it's a less jaded crowd. So everybody kind of appreciates the, you know, the atmosphere, the pomp and circumstance, all the stuff that goes into the game a little bit more. They're, you know, a little less negative, maybe a little more positive. Obviously, it's preseason, so nobody's lost a real game yet. That probably has something to do with it. But yeah, I'll probably get dragged into going to a regular season game later this year. There's a lot of 1 o'clocks that, I don't know, the boy might.
Different animal there.
It is, but like a 1 o'clock game against the Colts is different than a Sunday 8:30 against the Ravens when everybody's been getting tuned up for 15 hours.
What kind of tuned up? There's a couple tunes up now.
I mean, I'm just talking about crushing some irons in the parking lot. I'm not talking about anything else. Although I did smell a few dead skunks on the walk back to the car,
That's anywhere. I mean, I go into Aldi or Walmart and I smell it. So that's just, I mean, I'm driving down 51, down 51, and you stop at the red light and you're like, whoa.
When the weather's nice, are you a big drive with the windows down guy?
No. I don't even know how my windows have ever went.
Oh, by the way, I got to mention this real quick. We're driving down 51 to go to the game on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon it was, because we left a little early, had to drop my daughter off at work, Don Chick-fil-A, and then went straight to the game from there. And we're driving down 51, you know, down towards the Liberty Tubes. And I glance over at this white car next to me. I'm like, hey, bud. Look who's in the lane next to us. He goes, huh? And he just looks and points. And I tried waving. No, you didn't even look. Why would right I look, next to you.
Why would I stop at the stop sign and go, oh, I wonder if Mac's next to me?
No, I beeped the horn. We were at the red light right there outside the Liberty Tubes. I beeped the horn, and you're just 10 and 2, eyes straight ahead.
Oh, there you go.
Taking a driver's test.
You know, I've invented a new driving 10 and 2. It's called the thumb.
That's nice. I feel real good about your ability to handle it.
Somebody's
things.
Beeping at me on 51 when there's a million cars. I'm going to think, let me look over and see if they're talking to me. Maybe they're brandishing a weapon at me. Maybe it's Chris Mack. Of course I'm not paying attention.
Are you really that fearful of someone coming after you in traffic?
No. I mean, sometimes after people cut me off constantly. I mean, you have to be cut off anywhere between 5 to 7 times a day if you drive 51, and me beeping the horn and me doing something. After I do that, I'm thinking, huh.
Let's not pretend like, and I saw you do it because you took off ahead of me. Let's not pretend like you didn't pull that move where you get in the left lane going over the West End Bridge and then bang, try to merge over to the right so you can get down to the North Shore. I saw you do that.
Well, I wasn't quite sure which was the quickest way to go.
Yeah, you only been doing it for 25 years. I mean, it's tough to remember.
Not that way. I used to be driving a different way before. I got to get my fill across the West End Bridge. And I see everybody will go in the right lane, and you don't have to go in the right lane because I wasn't going to the North Shore. Mm-hmm. I was going up and back and around towards Western Avenue.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the actual game. Young guys that maybe made a bit of impression on Saturday night. Let's start with Caleb Johnson in the locker room talking about it.
It just means just being comfortable and really just running hard and being me. You know, at first game, I feel like I was just feeling it out and really just feeling the flow of the, you know, how the NFL really is. So me just being timid that game, so now I'm just coming out here just really just, you know, being 110% and just really ready to work and get back to work on Monday.
He definitely looked less tentative on Saturday night, and Arthur Smith mentioned that as well yesterday when you talked to him.
Yeah,
that's why you gotta play these guys, especially the young guys at home.
Well, Arthur Smith looks different.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
that's why you got to play these guys, especially the young guys that don't have a lot of reps. They're human. You know, they're going to be anxious. Everybody wants to have a breakout performance the first time they go out. Sometimes, you know, just depending on the personality, some guys can overthink things. You just want to see that progress. And certainly that was a step in the right direction, and it's good for him. So it's good to see him get going. So we left him in there just as he's working through that.
I saw you write about it after the game. We'll talk about the hand gesture in a second. I saw you write about it after the game, though. That might have been a little more calculated, leaving him in against the second and third teamers of Tampa's defense.
I had to. You see, I saw that defensive line, or you probably did see the defensive line of the Buccaneers. Who would you rather gain more confidence from? Especially after your head coach basically calls you out and says you got to be more confident, you got to run the ball harder. Then all of a sudden you're going to go against Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey and company. You aren't going to get too much ball, people moving at that point right there. Then all of a sudden you look bad. So you wait till a calculated, what was it? I think he went in the second series, right? No, third series.
Yeah. Cause Gainwell actually had, how many carries did Gainwell
have? 2 for 2, I believe. Yeah. And, well, you know, that's what they did. And I think it would work. I mean, I think it did work. He went 11 to 50, had some nice yards, and there were some runs there that he looked very decisive and hitting it downhill one step, you know, pressing the line, cutting back, stuff you're supposed to do in the Arthur Smith offense, the outside zone one cut stuff. But there were some plays, too, and I noticed, where he did bounce it outside.
Yeah.
One time he got tackled. The other time he was able to turn the corner. You're not turning the corner on NFL caliber starting outside linebacker / cornerbacks. You're just not doing it. So instead of going for 8, you're going for -2 there.
Well, there was one that he bounced outside to the far sideline as you would have been looking at it. We were down in the south end zone, so it was sort of to our left. Where he bounced it outside and the corner just had good outside containment and shut him down. He couldn't get to the edge. But I think it was a sign of what can work well, like you're talking about, with these outside zone concepts where you either hit the hole quick or he's got the speed. Like this is the primary difference I've noticed between Caleb Johnson and Najee the last 4 years. And it's what? We're 2 preseason games in, so it's hard to tell to this point. But when he does decide to shift into second gear, it's a faster second gear than Najee's was. Yeah,
I don't think he's getting to the outside with the starters, though. I don't think he's turning that corner.
I think it depends on what defense we're talking about, right? Like, if we're talking about Sauce Gardner in week 1, maybe not. If we're talking about a team whose corners aren't as good, if we're talking about the Bengals, maybe he does get to the outside. I just like the fact that he's, like he said, he was more decisive. And he seemed to not dance around behind the line and wait for contact as much. He looked for the hole, he made the read, and he went.
How much can you – that's where you battle yourself, or at least I battle myself. What are we talking about here? We're talking about, okay, he did well, but against a second-team defense, against an offensive line that, you know, maybe all 5 of those guys do get cut right there that was on the field during those 11 carries for 50 yards. So does it really mean anything? It's a hard, hard thing to look at and try to figure out right now if that even meant anything. I mean, okay, he's playing against a crappy defense, but he has a crappy offensive line.
Right.
So does that, like, even out? I mean, I still think they're going to struggle running the ball early. I just think they are.
That's bad news, because if they struggle to run the ball at all in the first few weeks, opposing defenses are going to just tee off on Rodgers. And
I think he's good enough to get rid of it quickly. I don't think he's going to get hit that much.
I'm not worried necessarily about the big hits. I'm worried more about the running around trying to avoid the hits. And then,
I think he's more going to just throw it away.
And then if nobody's open, then we get a whole bunch of 1.8 seconds and throw the ball away. Well, that's not very good for your pass offense either.
I just don't understand that. I understand why they're sitting majority of these people. You don't want them to get hurt. They're too old, whatever. But I don't think there's any excuse why the 4 offensive linemen can't play more than 9 snaps and Jaylen Warren can't get a series or 2.
Yeah, I would say the same about everybody at this. Like, I would like to see everybody dress and play at least a series in the final game.
I don't really care.
It's not going to happen, but...
I mean, I don't care about Metcalf or Rodgers or, you know, or any of the secondary. This offensive line have never played a snap together as this current setup is. So
okay, so at the very least,
they have 25 total snaps in two preseason games. Maybe none, no more, because maybe they don't even do it next on Thursday. They might not even play.
And not a single snap with Sayamalu in there.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what is this going to hurt? You're taking 10 snaps against Vita Vea, and he's picking up Zach Frazier like he's a rag doll, which just doesn't happen, but it does. So if you're being able to feel comfortable enough to put him out there during that, why not put him out there for a couple more series? My boy, that was regimented or what, man? You went one play in the third series, end of quarter, everybody comes off. So I'm guessing there's a hard deadline of one quarter for these offensive linemen. I never saw a whole unit play one play of a series then come out.
I did think that they held their own against what's a really good defensive front. I mean,
yeah, but I think the middle got pretty much banged up.
Well, Frazier, like you said, Vita Vea is what, 375 pounds or whatever the hell he is. Like, he's going to ragdoll just about anybody he wants to.
Oh, he's 60, 70 pounds heavier than Zach Frazier.
Right. So, I thought they held their own. I didn't see Mason running for his life a whole lot. He did break out of the pocket a couple times, was their leading rusher for the first quarter and a half of the game. Back to that run game issue. But speaking of Mason, he was asked about Roman Wilson, had a couple nice hookups with him, including on a deep ball.
He's been very dependable over camp. We threw him a couple balls last week in Jacksonville, so you can tell he's just. I know it killed him having to sit out all last year with the injury, and he is extremely hungry to get out there and make plays and prove himself. And I think he's definitely done that.
Have you noticed something about his game that gets him open a little bit faster? You're just able to say, like, okay, he's getting off the ball a little bit quicker, even from the start of training camp.
I mean, I wasn't with him last year, so I can't compare and contrast, but I think he's, from the first day we threw this past spring, he's an explosive guy, very quick off the line, great releases, and he's got good hands. So he's locked into Arthur's offense right now and to our offense, and he's doing a good job digesting all the concepts.
I did not play the question and the second answer to show off Mason's soft tip dart that you implied he threw towards Chris Carter there.
Well, I wasn't here last year.
But I played the second answer, the question and the second answer, because do they really think, and this will lead into something else we're going to talk about today, the whole Gabe Davis thing. Do they really trust that Calvin Austin and or Roman Wilson can be the deep threats that they need to lift the lid, so to speak, and provide some sort of threat to force safeties and defensive coordinators to have to play too deep and not just sit back in a single high safety look all year?
Boy, if I only had a chance to ask Calvin Austin some questions yesterday. Oh, my bad.
What, you sound disappointed.
I'm not disappointed with the question and the answers. I'm, as we call it in the business, getting bum rushed right after it. So I wasn't able to be able to talk to him very much here.
You were having a one-on-one conversation with Calvin, and then every other
nitty gritty,
and then every other media member in the room swooped in.
I better not say it.
Don't use the word you want or the phrase you want to use.
Well, there's multiple phrases. I forget who didn't never like that. Roethlisberger didn't like the gang one.
Oh, well, understandable, I guess.
But, I was getting down to the nitty-gritty. He did not practice yesterday. He was out there at least in pads. That's now 18 consecutive days off the field. He feels like he does feel like he's not behind. You know, he feels like he can pick it up real quickly. Now, depending on this injury, the severity of it moving forward. Yeah, I think of course he can provide that deep ball threat. Both of them can provide the deep ball threat. I mean, we saw Roman Wilson do it, but we're talking about Calvin Austin, who's quicker and faster than Roman Wilson as well. So
can they do it to the extent that they don't have to seriously consider adding the second wide receiver?
I think they want to add the second wide receiver. I think a lot of it's going to be based on the Calvin Austin health. And I think a lot of it's going to be who's available. It's not going to be anybody of note. It's just to cover your own butt come week 10 and two guys are banged up and let's all of a sudden we got somebody there. That's why Gabe Davis, and I texted you yesterday, said it's not happening.
Well,
I think that was the exact quote. It's not happening.
Hold your water there on the Gabe Davis thing because I want to get into it in a second. But like, here's the issue with Roman Wilson and Calvin Austin, as I see it, is that's great. If you go into the season with your five wide receivers as DK, Roman, Calvin Austin, and then what? Like Scotty Miller and Ben Skoranek, I guess. Because it's not looking good for Bobby Trees right now. He's playing deep into that second half on Saturday night. If those are your five guys, okay, fine. But you still don't have the guy who can step up if DK has to miss a game or two.
I don't think that's the case. I think they're more worried about I think the top three there, they or even Miller to a degree, they would feel comfortable going the short term with him. I think the question is if it's a long term and they need to fill somebody, backfill, so to speak, they don't really have that guy right now.
Well, that's probably when your hand is absolutely forced.
What about Rock Taylor in that? What about Rock Taylor, your hero?
What are you talking about?
I never saw anything in Rock Taylor. He would make a play. Then he would disappear for 3 or 4 days. It's so strange that they cut him so quickly.
Yeah, I didn't totally get that, but I mean, Rock Taylor wasn't going to be the difference between going to the AFC Championship game and
but you know how the answers are. You get that they think everybody's going to be the second coming of James Harrison / Brett Kiesel come out of nowhere and just light the world on fire and, you know, realize that's like once in a generation type of guy.
As a side note, James Harrison reading the fan code of conduct at the game.
I gotta get to the bottom of this.
It's hilarious. For those of you that weren't at the game, if you've been to a game before, you know they read this big fan code of conduct thing before the game, basically telling you not to be a jag-off. And they now have James Harrison read it on the scoreboard, on the video board. And he reads all the stuff, you know, does it in his typical James Harrison intimidating fashion, and then looks at the camera and says, or else. And everybody got a good laugh out of it, because it's James Harrison, you know, doing James Harrison things, speaking.
Don't be afraid, Chris, when he said that at the Amski 10 years ago. Don't be afraid, Chris. And he looked at his name tag. I'm in the background just laughing.
One of the most entertaining guys to watch go through a media scrum in the locker room over the years has been James Harrison.
Say, hey, James, you got him in. Yeah. Well, no, he'd just look at you. And it would be, you count to five. If nothing's said within five, that's it. I'm done. Well, I guess that's this week's press conference.
That's this week's James Harrison media availability brought to you by. But no, that was a funny part of actually being at the game on Saturday.
Did you buy any pizza or some
we got
beverages?
The boy and I each got a hot dog and we got some popcorn. I let him, we split a Pepsi and you know.
It's so expensive, you gotta split a Pepsi.
Yeah, seriously.
By the way, and I mentioned this to you yesterday, at least six people have asked me for this hat already. I'm sure six people haven't asked you for that hat yet.
I told you, I was in Bloomfield on Friday night for Little Italy days, and I didn't keep count, but there was a handful of people. Nice hat. I like that. That looks that's good. And even when I walked up to somebody to get a drink, I walked up to the bar at Tesoro's.
Did you get an iron?
Stopped in to cool off for a minute. And I just pointed and I said, just pointed at the hat. Hey, give me an IC light.
See, I even got it at the Pool City the other day when I went nebbing around. The lady goes, oh, that's my beer there. I'm like, okay, ma'am.
Yeah.
I think mine's definitely better than yours, but that's neither here nor there.
No, I think mine's better, but that's okay. People don't want to hear us argue about that. We do got to thank the Dan Heck team for continuing to support Cabali and Mack as well. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, you know who to get a hold of. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com, the Dan Heck team, waiting to hear from you if you're looking to buy, looking to sell, whatever it may be, moving to a different part of town. It could be anything, downsizing, moving into a smaller place, anything. They are there to help you. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, the Dan Heck team, waiting to help you, and we appreciate their continued support of the show. All right, so the Gabe Davis thing, let's just get right to it. You say there's no way it's happening. They're just bringing him in for a dog and pony show today.
Well, they're going to check him out. I mean, see how that knee is. They didn't like it before. And I keep saying this over and over again. If they're getting a free agent, maybe, you know, an outside free agent, they tend to shy away from guys who have been injured or dealing with injuries. Now, maybe they'll draft a guy, maybe one of their own, they'll give the benefit of the doubt, like Corey Trice and stuff. But when they bring an outside guy in, he better be healthy or they're pretty much going to turn the other cheek. I mean, I keep saying they're going to add one. I was told yesterday, I'm pretty happy with what we got here. So maybe not.
So the tune changed?
It might be in between there a little bit.
Was it the Roman Wilson game? I was told that was the Roman Wilson breakout game. On Saturday night.
I don't know about that. I don't know about Roman Wilson breakout. I mean, I think Roman Wilson could be good, but he hasn't done it yet. So I think it's a lot of – I think they'll add somebody. I still think they'll add somebody with here within the next week or 10 days or whenever it is. But I do
but think – not Gabe Davis.
I don't know. I think Gabe Davis is going to come in. He's going to
What if they check him out and he's got a completely clean bill of health? And
did you happen to see some of these videos he's posted?
No, I don't keep up on Gabe Davis's social media.
Somebody said, "Why is he putting it in slow motion?"
Come on.
You think Gabe Davis is any better than what Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson are right now? I don't think.
I don't know what Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson might be this year because Calvin Austin's hurt. And Roman Wilson hasn't played a regular season game.
Gabe Davis is a model of health.
Okay, but my point is, I don't know. I do know that Gabe Davis has started games in the league before, at the very least.
They'll be sniffing around here, and if somebody, you know, if somebody who they really think can help them, they'll pull the trigger. But, I mean, they keep saying they're happy with what they got with the top three, I guess, would be the top three. Now, I think Scotty Miller has inserted himself into that, well, top four, inserted him into that three behind DK Metcalf. I mean, we're just totally sleeping on Scotty Miller, but this is a guy that probably 3 weeks ago we thought no chance of making this team. Nope, you're done. See ya. And now it's like there's no chance he's not making this team.
Well, if Rodgers likes him, and there seems to be
Arthur likes him.
Yeah, if Rodgers likes him and Arthur likes him and gives him the old come here, you know, that might be a pretty good sign. By the way, nobody asked Arthur about the
– I totally forgot about it. I mean, how are you going to ask him in that setting? We all know what he was doing.
Do you?
And of course, he goes, I'm surprised you didn't have all people. You should have asked me. I'm like – He goes, yeah, I was getting a ton of text messages from everybody right after that. He thought it was funny. He goes, go ask Aaron about it. I didn't get to see Aaron, so I wonder they're probably
dogging. Ari seems to have a pretty good sense of humor.
Yeah, he thought it was pretty funny. But
I mean, he literally is like
a bit of an Illuminati sign. I'm like, Arthur, I don't even know what that means. I'm so old, I don't know what that means. He goes, I don't either. The guys tell me.
No, it very clearly looked like one thing in particular.
And I was thinking about it. I think I was just telling the guy to come in motion. Interesting use of fingers, but
yeah, whatever. I was going to say.
I told him a story too.
Used to have people come in motion before.
Hey, easy with the choice of words. I proceeded to tell him the story about the guy I played with in high school at Bell Vernon, Joe Rudolph. was the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. Okay. And he got caught at the Rose Bowl, not only picking his nose, but eating it.
Oh, geez.
And he goes, ah! Poor Joe, greatest guy in the world. Well, you know, sometimes
he gave it
just, you know,
he gave it the old Jim Harbaugh.
I said, make sure you don't do that. I mean, he seems to get along with everybody. I mean, Aaron loves him. I need to ask him what he thinks of the old sign. He's just getting destroyed.
You remember when Boeheim got caught doing that on the sideline?
I know Boeheim got caught doing a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, Boeheim one time was way up in there, like a knuckle and a half deep, and then just went, like, looked at it and was like,
Oh, sometimes, you know, sometimes the only way to get that out is one way. Get the Kleenex and you roll it up at that little point.
Yeah. You give yourself a brain check with the rolled up.
It doesn't come out with the blow, the fingers don't fit up there. Now you're making me feel like it. By the way, I just made the worst cup of coffee in the history of coffee making.
Why?
It's disgusting.
How do you make bad coffee?
I ran out of regular coffee, so there was some kind of old Folgers left in the cupboard. So I'm like, this will be good.
Tastes like dishwater. Good for you.
It's a bad one. And we would be remiss not to say, get well soon to podcast friend Christian
Kuntz. Yeah, I wanted to bring that up when we got to the other side of the ball first.
He's out there practicing yesterday. Not practicing, in his full uniform, teaching Jake McQuaid, or whatever the hell his name is, the guy, long snapper, some nuances of snapping. And you could tell he was not moving his right arm at all.
Hasn't Jake McQuaid been long snapping in the league for like a decade?
He's out there helping him.
Okay, good for Christian. That looked bad. Just watching it from the stands where we were, you could immediately tell that something was wrong, the way he was holding his chest and jogging off the field.
Yeah, it's a broken sternum, but there's different degrees of that. It's probably a lot of pain tolerance right now. And I said several weeks. What does several weeks mean to you?
2 to 3.
Yeah. Well, the season doesn't start for 3 weeks. So.
Right.
I don't know if he'll be ready week one. Who knows when he'll be ready? But it could be much worse. You know, a sternum, if you really crack at sternum, you could be out months. But he must not have gotten. Maybe that's where the good news came in at.
Maybe. Logan Lee handled himself all right.
Who has a good chance of making this squad?
Let's talk about the defensive line after we remind everybody to check out Third Do First In Firefighter and First Responder podcast on all the platforms and the social media. Go subscribe and follow Keith and Gino. They're talking about all walks of that first responder lifestyle. A couple of firefighters talking to people from other walks of the first responder life. Interesting stories, and whether you're in that walk of life or not, definitely worth checking out. Third Do First In. Firefighter and First Responder podcast on YouTube, on all the same platforms we're on, if not more. So good for them. And check it out. Another interesting podcast out there for you to spend a few minutes with. And we thank them for supporting Cabali and Mac. All right. Logan Lee, you said, is going to make the team or has a good chance.
He has a very good chance. I think he's played well.
One guy we know is going to make the team, had himself a sack, his first professional sack the other night, and has heavy hands, Derek Harmon.
Big guy with some 4X hands, so just got to put them on people, put them paws on people.
Put them paws on people, Derek Harmon.
Is he 4XL?
I mean, he's got big paws, like he said. He looked much better Saturday night than he did in the first preseason game. That sack that he had, I mean, he just mushed that offensive lineman right back into the pocket. He looked more... And I'm not saying he's definitely this yet. We're two preseason games in, but he definitely played, I thought, more like that Cam Hayward 2.0 that we talked about when he came out in the draft.
Yeah, stout, very stout, very, like you said, hands heavy, use his hands very well, shed the block, make the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a tip. He almost looks like Cam Jr. Come little Cam right there. I think obviously it's going to take him time to get very comfortable, but that's a good step. I mean, he's been banged up a little bit too, as well as way same as YA Black. But yeah, that, I mean, they really do need him though. I mean, if you look at the defensive line and you got a lot of these mid-level guys that can throw in a series or a snap or two, if it's the Loudermilks, the Logan Lees, if it's the ukuleles or whatever his name is,
Ekwali,
and you have a bunch of those guys, which are very valuable guys.
Ukulele.
I'm terrible with names anymore. I mean, whatever happened to, John Smith?
Daniel Ukulele. I hope he makes the team now just so we can use that.
Ukulele. I forget what you got. What I'm saying is, it was a good step for him right now.
Someone correcting you on your pronunciation.
Filippone asked me for his practice today.
I mean, ask Filippone if he knows the difference between working the middle of the field and throwing a moon ball.
He was at the game. He was working.
Oh, good for him.
I guess he was doing his podcast stuff. He was interviewing Larry Foote.
Larry's a good guy. I like Larry a lot. Larry would know the difference between using the middle of the field and throwing a moon ball. Anyway, Harmon looked good. I thought YA Black in the snaps that he got looked pretty good. Like, I feel really good about those two moving forward.
Well, what's your take on this Peyton Wilson, Brandon Echols touchdowns? Man, I'm willing to give those guys. It's like, well, they gave up touchdowns. They can't cover. I don't think those two could have played that any more perfect other than somehow getting your fingers on the ball. Those were almost elite level coverage plays there that maybe you should just tip your hat to, who was it? I forget who caught the balls. Your guy.
It was Bucky Irving on one, and it was
Bucky Irving and Umaga on the other one. Abuka.
Emeka Egbuka. Like, the dude's a stud. He's a national champion.
Teddy B. Teddy Bridgewater. I'll remember his name. Put it on him. I mean, yesterday, Peyton Wilson says, I make that play 100 out of 100. I'm like, 99 out of 100. But I don't see the guy, taking a back seat here at all, saying, oh, he's talking a good game. I think you played the amazing play. It was just a good throw, and those guys get paid too. I'm not saying those guys.
This is the problem, is that anytime the opposition makes a play, and I saw some instant reaction, because as soon as Egbuka made the catch, I think I tweeted out, this guy's just going to be a stud or whatever I said. And immediately some of the responses were, oh, Brandon Echols. And I was like, wait a second. That wasn't bad coverage. It was a perfectly placed ball. Bridgewater did play really well, by the way.
Barely caught it off the ground too. I mean, they had to go look at that, didn't they? The Bucky Irving one.
Yeah,
Egbuka, close enough for them to go check it.
Yeah, Egbuka's catch was really nice.
Wilson watching him.
Well, no, it was Echols on Egbuka, I think, and Peyton Wilson on Bucky Irving.
You sure? I thought it was the other way around.
No, I think that's the way it went. But regardless. Well, no, it was definitely that. I don't want I like Peyton Wilson a lot. I don't want him covering Emeka Egbuka. He picked up Bucky Irving. Anyway, point remains the same. Those were two really nice thrown balls and two good catches, especially the Egbuka one. So, yeah, I don't – this is what happens preseason, regular season, any season. People immediately assign blame to the person in coverage. And if you're watching closely enough, you can tell if it was decent coverage or if, like you said, the other team just made a really nice play. That happens sometimes.
I'm looking right now. You know what?
Was I paying better attention way down?
You were paying better attention to me. It was Bucky Irving. Where got me confused at is, why is Bucky Irving running like almost a go route down the corner?
They lined him up in the slot a couple of times. They had him split out as a receiver in the formation a few times.
That's good. I mean, he was right with a top level guy and was right on him at that point. So I'm not worried about Peyton Wilson. The guy, like I've been saying for months now, the guy is just – I like him coming out and saying, I make that play 100 out of 100 times. You know, great.
And then
great
you just
have that confidence.
And then you just dart him and say, oh, 99.
I didn't say it right to his face.
Of course not. Of course not. Why would you do something like that?
But I don't know why people get a little wound up. Even when I mentioned something about Brandon Echols and people, oh, he stinks. Brandon Echols is a doggone good ball player, and he's going to fit in. Maybe he's not the top three.
Is he going to steal it?
No, this brings up, nice.
This brings up a question. When I asked you yesterday about takeaways from the two coordinator availabilities, the one thing you brought up was Terrell Austin talking about Beanie Bishop. And look, I just read the printed words on a page. I didn't actually hear what Terrell had to say, but it sounds to me like Beanie's fighting for a roster spot.
That's what it sounded like to me too, man. It wasn't an endorsement saying that. Don't worry about it. I just think it's a numbers game right now. I mean, where does he fit in at? I mean, you need – it depends if you go nine offensive linemen, how many defensive linemen do you take? Do you keep four inside guys? It's just a numbers game where is he going to get in at right now? If you're going with your top three, going to play a lot. Mm-hmm. Chuck Clark has been playing really good. He'll make the team. Thornhill's making the team. Then you got Pierre and Trice.
Right.
You know, they like Trice, but he's banged up. But even if he's not playing that position anyways, where is he fitting in? Is he like the third nickel right now? Third nickel. I mean, if you're going Ramsey, Echols, Beanie, I mean, it's not like he was a draft pick either. He's not going to get the benefit of the doubt. He was an undrafted guy that couldn't hit the field once Cam Sutton came on the scene last year.
I mean, if you're going to keep five corners, does that seem realistic? If you're going to keep five corners on the roster, it's your starting three.
Depends on what you consider a corner.
I consider Beanie a corner. Bill, I mean, nickel corner is still a position. Your three starters, and then Echols and Bishop. Like, I don't understand the infatuation with James Pierre, and I never have. He had a couple moments when he first came over here a few years ago, but James Pierre is a walking defensive pass interference penalty waiting to happen.
But now Skowronek's hurt. He hurt his toe.
Okay, special teams. Here we go.
And all of a sudden, if that is something that lingers into week two or three or whatever, you need somebody to take that gunner position. Guess who comes over? James Pierre. So have that trickle down effect.
We can't have Beanie Bishop run down the field on coverage.
I don't think on that. No. I don't know how bad Skowronek's toe is. I saw he hurt it Thursday. I saw when he hurt it Thursday.
Might save a job for Bobby Trees.
I mean, it's another one. What do you do there? You go five or six there. I mean, there's not a lot of decisions to be made at this 53 man, but a handful of them might just be made on, you know,
numbers.
Who's available and what health and what's good for week one.
What about, I've seen him play towards the end of preseason games, but Sebastian Castro, I brought him up a while ago.
Another one.
Like, I like what that kid did in college, and I think he's capable of, like, he's one of those Iowa defensive backs, like all these Iowa defensive backs that have come out in the last couple of years that I go, I think he might be really good, but I don't know. And it's just, he's never going to see the field behind Elliott and Clark and Thornhill.
Until you have to. What was it, a couple of years ago, every safety got hurt?
Yeah, so
maybe you can get him on the practice squad. Yay, yippee!
But that's the thing. Can you get him onto the practice squad?
That's the chance you got to take when you cut him loose.
I guess I'd rather see them not cut him loose. But then you're talking about keeping six safeties, and I don't think that's going
to
happen.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we're back to the original argument of Beanie. Sure, you love him.
He's got a nose for the ball. He makes plays.
Yeah, but you know, the ball finds him. He doesn't find the ball. Is there a difference?
Whenever there's a play being made, you look up and see him. Like you said it on Saturday night about our guy Mad Max Hurleman. The ball finds him. Well, do something when the ball finds you, Max. Hold on to that ball in the back of the end zone.
Oh, that was bad.
That was bad. Yeah,
that's a tough one. I mean, it all started, by the way. That all started with a bad snap.
It did.
That Frazier bad snap. Mason had to hurry it quickly in that tight zone in there, and he zinged it. It still hit him right in the 3 and the 4.
What's up with that, by the way? Because there was two low snaps. The Roman Wilson play was a low snap, too.
Yeah, and he had to hurry that as well. I mean, if you want to sit there and make excuses for that pick, that's probably
After all the issues with snaps with Rodgers in camp, too.
And I was talking to West Virginia resident, West Virginia fan, Adam Crowell, and he said he's had issues with that in college, but it was the other way around. It was normally a high snaps and not low snaps. So apparently this is not anything new. If you listen to Mr. Adam Crowley, who's probably watched every West Virginia game in the past 35 years.
I mean, your Joe Green Award winner needs to clean up the snap work.
I love
Zach Frazier, but he's got to clean that up.
I happened to be ripping on him, too. I said, hey, Zach, I saw what you did.
Notes on the wrist?
I said, you did the old rock thing. Put all your notes on the side of your hands, man. John Cena's going to actually call you out there, man. He goes, I didn't want to forget anybody. So they just gave me this. I said, you did well.
He did. He handled it really well. Well-spoken guy, that Zach
Frazier. I still find it ironic, or maybe not ironic, interesting, that the Joe Green Rookie of the Year that is voted on by the Pro Football Writers and Pittsburgh chapter and presented to him by the Pro Football Writers in Pittsburgh, gets no seat at the table on the field during the actual presentation of the trophy.
No, there's some guy from PNC, right?
Yeah, Joe Rutter should have been out there, man. El Presidente.
El Presidente Rutter.
He should have been out there.
Well, you got sponsors you got to appease, Kaboom.
They even have they even have a luncheon. And you think we'd get invited? No.
No.
I wouldn't go anyways, but beside the point.
Beside the point, right. Thanks to our good friends at Nail Studio 2 for continuing to support the show. Check them out online. You can actually book your appointments there, nailstudio2.com. Look, it's still hot out. People are still going to the pool. They're going to the beach, maybe getting one last trip in before the start of the school year. Or you just got someone in your life that wants to get their nails did before the start of the school year. They got a big promotion running right now, and it's just for a limited time. 10% off all services for students going back to school, and $5 off all services of $40 or more. Discount taken in-store once you get there, but you can book your appointments online, nailstudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral two, so nailstudioii.com. They're right out there in the South Hills on 19. Next to Juniper Grill in Lakeview Square in the McMurray Peters Township area. So check them out if you know somebody needs to get their nails done. Dudes, don't be afraid to get your feet taken care of because they're probably nasty. Not that I would know anything about that. Nailstudio2.com. We appreciate their support of Kabali and Mac. All right, where do we go after this? Oh, Jack Sawyer. That was another guy that got commented on by Terrell Austin. I keep saying he's going to make a play in the preseason, and he has yet to make a play really in the preseason. He's doing that thing where he just goes right around the quarterback sometimes. I don't know if
it's
he's
a new just position. It's a new position for him.
Yeah. I mean, you go from hand in the dirt DN to stand up outside linebacker. There is that adjustment period.
Yeah. That's what it is right now. It's just a different, but he still should be able to, when it's third down, put his hand in the dirt. Should be able to get more pressure than he has. But, I mean, we're talking about two games in here.
Right.
We're talking about 20 or 30 snaps or something like
that. Is Harbig okay? Didn't he have, like, a hammy or something on Saturday night?
He refused comment yesterday.
Ooh.
But that doesn't matter. Mean anything. I think he's fine. I think they were just overly precautious of him.
Overly precautious.
Overly precautious. you know. Overly cautious.
Yeah, and as a precaution, they pulled him from the game.
Yeah, so I don't think it's that bad, but we're still talking about yet another soft tissue injury.
This is probably another reason why Mike Tomlin doesn't want to play anybody in the preseason and probably won't play anybody on Thursday.
Maybe just find a staff that doesn't that prevents it. You don't understand how high-tech they do things in the NFL now. They have little monitor type things in the back of their which monitors speed, steps, everything during practice that tells you when your certain body types get overexposed or overused, and it's still not working. I mean, this is not new with the chip they use, but I don't know. I'm just looking at why somebody's calling me a dumbass.
I mean, it happens.
You call me a dumbass?
Who?
I don't know. The Blues Brothers in the comments just called me a dumbass.
I think they might be talking to somebody else in the chat. People argue in the chat. That's what I've learned. And like 50% of what's said in the chat on YouTube isn't directed at us. It's just people arguing with each other, which just can be entertaining when you go back and read it.
Yes. Maybe I am a dumbass.
I mean, you made up the word precautious, but I don't think that's a sign of a dumbass. I think that's a sign of a higher intellect that you're making up new words.
Yeah, well, you know, me and Doran had a fight, the debate last week about the uses of the word re-aggravation. I'm like, there's no re-aggravation. You either aggravate it or you suffer the injury. No, it's re-aggravation. Once you, I'm like, no, you don't re-aggravate something. It's aggravated. The initial injury, I tore my knee. I pulled my hamstring. Then I aggravated my hamstring. I didn't re-aggravate it.
I mean, if you've aggravated it once and then something happens again later, you could re-aggravate it. Yeah.
I don't think re-aggravated is a...
I think you both have a point here.
I'm right. You're wrong.
I said you both have a point, so whatever. I guess I'm wrong. You don't have one. Got to thank our friends at Impact HVAC, too. It's hot out there, and if your AC isn't doing what you want it to do, you want them to check it out, get a hold of them. Give them a call at 412-297-1852 or message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH. They'll come out, take a look, tell you what may be wrong or what isn't wrong. If something needs repaired, replaced, just some simple maintenance, they'll tune you up. And I don't know, maybe even schedule a couple months ahead of time that early look at the furnace to make sure everything's good for when it gets cold later this fall and winter. What are you laughing at?
Don't be talking furnace already.
I'm just saying, you want to get ahead of the game.
Go outside. It's been 90 for 106 straight days.
I'm talking about later when it starts to get cold out again. You are a dumbass.
Well, I'm just
agree with whoever said that.
I don't even want to hear the word furnace right now. I don't believe in the furnace.
Tell me about the locker room and how it's all fancy now. You said they updated the locker room a little bit?
Yeah, you walked in and you walked in the locker room. It's the first time we were allowed in the locker room since last January. Typically, they would allow us in during OTAs and stuff, but of course they did. Maybe that's why. Walk in, and you got a big LED light of a big Steelers logo, sort of like that Iron City one right there.
Yeah.
There's a big Steeler one. New carpet. They painted it all black. They added some new lockers, took down this trophy case that was just... I mean, it wasn't even a trophy case. It was just taking up space.
Okay.
So, it's nothing over the top, but it looks nice, fresh. Fresh paint. Maneuver some things around a little bit. Same lockers. Same. It just gives a little bit more space.
So a fresh coat of paint, some new carpet, a fancy screen in
took
the middle.
The damn logo off the freaking floor.
Don't have to worry about stepping on the logo anymore. That's good.
Since Minka was traded, like, the hell with that. I don't know if that's the reason why. So it's not much, it's not a huge change, but they did upgrade it a little bit,
but the same amount of space. So no, it's still, no,
they actually took out this really worthless trophy case that, like, had a ball from it from, like, I don't even know. It was just not even being used. They took that out and put like 6 or 8 more lockers on in there.
So like right in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Okay. So for those,
there's more room around there, but it's the same. They're never getting rid of the wooden lockers where somebody was complaining, because that's been the tradition of the Steelers since the 70s. They're not going to get rid of that. They're not going to get rid of the old fire burned nameplates up there. It's just not going to happen.
Okay, so I'm all for tradition. It's the Steelers. That's fine. But there are still locker rooms at plenty of D1 schools that are nicer than what they have.
Yeah, I mean, Pitt changes something every single year over there, and that's Pitt. You just don't have the room right now. I'm quite sure they had their own building in, say, the Century 3 Mall area.
Why but do they you were keep harping? It's not going to happen.
That they would go all out in the locker room. It might not be like Georgia or Alabama like, but it would be a huge upgrade. You have to understand, this was state of the art 25 years ago.
Was it?
Well, there's not too many teams that had their own facility like that.
Okay, but 25 years ago is a long time.
That's what I'm saying. You just need, there's only so much, you can only polish the turd so much.
So this isn't going to get the old NFLPA survey result grades up at all?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, no. Well, they added the sauna last year into the toilet area.
I was going to say, guys still have to go next to
the, I didn't look. I'm going to go peeking. Hey, how's the toilets look? I tried to stay away from
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time you were a self-admitted locker room creeper.
No, I was creeping as in I was just taking in the atmosphere, seeing the reactions of people, seeing who hangs out with people. That's a creeper. Like yesterday, Mason, Calvin, Connor Hayward, Darnell, all sitting there having a little bit of conversation. Maybe I was just eavesdropping a little bit.
Just putting a little ear to the wall, yeah, checking Mason, things out.
Yeah, you know, Mason trying to give me shit, but.
Rudolph or McCormick?
Rudolph. If it's Mason, I'll give it back to Rudolph. I'll give it back to McCormick. I mean, yes, sir.
Squash you.
Like Sam Alu, too. You believe he talked to Alan Sanders yesterday. I think he tried to do the old side video because he was afraid that Sam Alu was just going to slap it out of his hands if he went like this.
What did Isaac do? Did he say anything?
Probably not. Like at that point, if he says hi, that's a quote, his first quote of the year. So you use it, right?
Guys are less and less, I guess, amicable or welcoming towards the media in the locker room every year.
Well, there are a bunch of creeps in there, so I don't blame them. I mean, you have to be, you just have to, the thing is, you got to build the relationship and have the trust first before you can actually. You know, have them talk to you as normal human beings. And it's rightfully right. So. I mean, why not? I see some dude in there and I'd be like, I don't know who this guy is. I'm not saying anything to this guy. So you just don't go in and stick the mic in and say, what do you think of whatever? I mean, it's just, I don't know if anybody knows how to do that. I mean, the newer generation back in my day.
Yeah. Give me some old, shake your fist at the clouds some more.
You know what they're told now? They're told go follow the crowd.
Oh yeah, wherever one person goes, everybody else follows. It's like a little swarm of bees.
It's like amoeba.
And that's how you don't get your little one-on-one with Calvin.
Oh, if I'm established, talking to somebody for a couple of minutes, man, it's just common courtesy. You just don't jump in there. If you do, you're like you make eye contact with the dude and say. Give them the look, and they'll either say, or, you know, it's just common courtesy. But I guess.
That's lacking in this day and age?
Oh, it's non-existent in this day and age.
Wow. Shake your fist at the cloud some more, old man. All right, we can talk about the rest of the AFC North maybe tomorrow when we talk about, you know, when we preview the final preseason game a bit, too. I don't know how much more information you'll get from people today. I know the locker room's open for at least a couple of minutes. And Mike Tomlin, I think, is supposed to be available at some point today.
Yeah, after practice, 4:00.
Okay. So we'll have some more to talk about tomorrow and getting ready for the Panthers game on Thursday. But we're up against it now. We got to give away the autographed Paul Skeens baseball.
Man, I don't have to say Paul Skeens again forever.
He had another good start last night, man. Didn't get a decision.
How'd that go?
I mean, they ended up winning the game.
Yay.
Look at you.
You know, at this point right now, I haven't watched the Pirates in a month because I'm over it. I probably couldn't name four people who starting right now.
That's not hard to do. Kiner Falefa. Tommy Pham, who almost got in a fight again last night.
Horwitz.
And then Henry Davis. There you go. I named four.
What about old Bednar just tearing up New York?
Is he? I haven't seen. I have honestly.
Oh, he's a closer now, and he didn't give up a run in like five games last time I looked.
Good for Bednar. Good for him. I hope he gets to play in playoff games. All right, let's give away the Skeens ball. The old random number generator has given me a number, and I'm just going to scroll through
now, the list. How about if somebody wins it twice? Is that allowed?
What do you mean? Somebody?
How about somebody who we already gave something to? The
oh, can somebody who's already won something win again? Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean,
oh man.
I mean, that would be disappointing for everybody else, I think, but that would be good luck for that person.
I just hope I win.
You're not going to win. Why? I won't let you win.
I'm subscribed. Nobody said no family members.
Come on. Like, you got to keep it on the up and up, right?
It's not the up and up.
That's not the up and up if you win it.
Why? It's random, and I'm a subscriber. All right, let's go.
All right, so I'm scrolling through to get to the number 359. So that gives us to 351, 350,
354. What the, what's the winning number?
57, 350, 359. That's what I said. So I'm scrolling through.
So we waited 2,500 just to do number 300. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's why it's random.
I would have gave it the number 2106.
That's not random. You picked the number.
It popped in my head. 21. That's random. Okay. 358. Or what did you
359.
Say? 359. Okay. Go ahead.
Silas Gallows. I don't know if that's a real name or not. They've got like a cowboy picture in their YouTube avatar. So Silas Gallows is the winner of the autographed Paul Skeens baseball. And. Now, if you're Silas Gallows, you've got to reach out to us, email KabaliMac@gmail.com, and we'll get your info.
What's this guy's name?
Silas Gallows. Silas, S-I-L-A-S, Gallows, like the Gallows.
Like O-W?
G-A-L-L-O-W-S. Jesus.
From the gallows.
Is that supposed to be your rendition of Renegade? What is that? What are you singing?
Renegade.
Okay. I couldn't tell. It sounded like.
Right? Luke Gallows, who's a wrestler, right?
Sure. Silas Gallows on YouTube is the winner of the Paul Skeens autographed baseball. So, everyone else, I apologize. It's why it's a random drawing. But, you know, we're going to have something good for you coming up soon. Maybe for 3,000 followers or subscribers, I should say.
29999 or 3,001.
Why you got to make it difficult? There's the arguments in the chat, by the way. I just
Calvin made Austin. Whoever's anti-Calvin Austin, I disagree with you, but.
Right now, there are two people, multiple people going back and forth about Calvin Austin's abilities in the chat. So, by all means, jump into that conversation if you'd like to. Congratulations to Silas Gallows, who won the autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Thanks to our good friends from First and Goal Collectibles. You want to go check them out for all the best stuff out there at South Hills Village, or just go to firstandgoalsports.com. We appreciate their support of the show as well, hooking us and more importantly, you up with all of these awesome giveaways. They'll help us cook up another one for the next time we give stuff away, which will be soon, obviously. And seriously, in all sincerity, thank you to each and every one of you who is following on social media or subscribed on YouTube and checking out the show whenever we do it. We couldn't do all this and do it multiple times a week without each and every one of you being invested in this. And maybe you're just here for the nonsense. Maybe you're here for Kaboom's actual insight. Maybe you're here for the good-looking Iron City gear that we got on our heads. Maybe it's a little bit of everything. Maybe you're here for the fights in the comments. But for whatever reason you're here, we appreciate you being here. So that's going to do it for today, Kaboom. Want to do it again early tomorrow morning, and we'll get ready for this final preseason game and talk about the rest of the division and Joe Flacco and the Browns keeping four quarterbacks and Trey Hendrickson and all that nonsense.
I just did a quick Google on Silas Gallo. He looks like a Brit.
Oh?
We're going overseas this time.
You think?
It looks like.
Well, we'll see. Silas has got to reach out, and we'll get him his him or they or her, however the hell that works. Yeah. Their autographed Paul Skeens baseball. You get down to the South Side and cover practice. Let us know what's going on, who's healthy, who ain't, all that kind of stuff. And make sure to follow, again, on all the social media and on YouTube. Get prepared for the next giveaway. Kamali and Mac, thanks again to all of our sponsors for keeping this going as well. We appreciate each and every one, Ian's. We'll do it again early tomorrow morning right here on YouTube and on X and wherever you get the show. That's going to do it now. I'm rambling. Goodbye.